This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grand Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Biggsy!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, that was better. That was significantly better. That was a little bit... unexpected. I knew that Dallas was struggling to keep quarterbacks from running on them, but I didn't know Mitch was allowed to do what he did there. That was pretty spectacular for him.
Yeah, that was something, guys. That's something that I think people were hoping to see at the start of the season, and what we saw last night looked like a completely different team, totally different offense than what you saw on the Thursday night primetime opener to the season against the Packers. This was pretty dynamic. They had total control of the football game pretty quickly, which is hard to do after you give up about a 9-minute touchdown drive on the opening possession of the game. But that's how good the Bears were on offense. They just took the game to the Dallas Cowboys in every respect.
How do you explain, Brad, the offensive line of the Bears having probably its most productive game of the season against a Dallas front that very good coming in, and the Bears really playing with two backups on the right side?
Yeah, that's the thing is, Mitch Trubisky, no one will question, has been the most criticized player on the Bears. If you were going to try to determine which player had taken the second most heat, I think that would be a big tie between the offensive linemen. I think that's a group that's sort of come under scrutiny. Some of it warranted, some of it probably not warranted. But to play like that, absolutely, with Cornelius Lucas, a journeyman backup who hasn't played a whole lot, making a second start at right tackle, and Rashad Coward still trying to find his way at right guard. They played really, really well, I think, against Dallas, and I'm interested to rewatch some of this because they held up in pass protection well. They ran the ball well with David Montgomery, and then Mitch provided that element that's been missing all season by basically, replacing defensive linemen. When the defensive linemen get up the field and get after him, they're creating a running lane for him, and he finally took him. He finally used him to get 63 yards rushing, second most in his career, and nearly matching the 80 yards he had on the entire season coming into the game.
We were talking about players that may have been unheralded, and certainly you saw some guys forced into action on defense, and you saw some of these linemen you're talking about, the tight end position. It just seemed like the depth of the team was pretty good.
Yeah, and that's a credit to a lot of the work they did during the offseason. When you see a guy like Kevin Pierre-Lewis come in to replace Roquan Smith, a top 10 draft pick, and on his second snap, Pierre-Lewis is knocking Dak Prescott down. He had two quarterback hits in the game. I think he had two pass breakups as well. A depth guy that Matt Nagy knew previously from their time together with the Chiefs, but is put out there, and now they're down both inside linebackers, and they still did, I think, a credible job against Ezekiel Elliott. They had that one run, I think it was in the second quarter, that kind of got downhill on him pretty quickly for 31 yards. But other than that, they did a really nice job on a very good running back against a talented offensive line. The tight end position, J.P. Holtz, he's played tight end, he's played fullback. He's done a lot of the dirty work. He had, I think, two pass catches on the season coming into the game. And they have a creative play design there where he's blocking to begin that play. It might have been Robert Quinn, but then he sort of sneaks out the backside. And what's amazing is you've got three offensive linemen downfield with no one to block. You know, I mean, that thing almost went all the way. So, yeah, a lot of guys kind of off the radar, guys you really didn't know anything about when the season started, contributing in a positive way for them.
You know, Brad, the Cowboys win the toss. They take the ball, and then they run it right down the Bears' throat, a 17-play drive. 12 plays into that drive, the Bears are reeling to the extent where they need a timeout to kind of catch their breath and hit reset. As far as what changed after that, what were you able to find out after the game? Because it seemed as if that drive, okay, they gave him the touchdown and they started slow, but Dak Prescott after that drive did not look like the same quarterback. He looked more confused and tentative, and that, a lot of that may have had to do with the Bears' defense.
Yeah, I think that's the really difficult thing to explain, because Prescott was asked a couple different ways, hey, what happened? And he said the Bears didn't make any adjustments. You know, from Prescott's point of view, it was as simple as they didn't execute. And I thought the Bears had an interesting reply, too. You know, to me, if you have a nine-minute drive go against you to start the game, and you're looking gassed to start the game, and you just don't have any answers, that there's going to be some concern. And they said that they really weren't freaked out, that the whole thing was that Dallas had been able to go 4-for-4 on third down against them. Maybe the big play being Prescott's 12-yard pass to Jarwin, the tight end, on 3rd and 11. So they felt like, hey, if we can get off the field here, we'll be all right. Some people in the Bears locker room, I think, felt that the Cowboys had some really good, strong calls against some of the things that the Bears were doing, that script that Jason Garrett started the game with was pretty good, and, you know, you make it through that, you'll be all right. And once he got off script, once his call sheet, you know, it was just on to calling plays as he went, that there was a big difference as well. So, yeah, that was something, because you watch that drive go down the field, then you watch Mitch throw the interception right in front of the end zone, and you're thinking, oh boy, here we go again. But the defense holds them. Mitch is able to come up with scoring drives on the next two possessions, and the entire momentum of that game had shifted.
That's interesting, because, you know, the first drive was 17 plays, so that he used up the entire script. There was none left.
He blew through it, and then he's got to, you know, and
then they had nothing. 16.
Yeah, play 16 and 17 are right at the goal line. That's probably pretty easy to come up with. But they just looked, you know, really really out of sync. Even when they were moving the ball a little bit there in garbage time, if you will, a little bit out of sync, and just sort of a stunned locker room after the game.
So, Brad, we know Akeem Hicks comes back next week. He'll play, if all goes as expected, against the Packers. There seems to be some suggestion that maybe Danny Trevathan is not been, you know, ruled out to come back this season either in the final three games. What is that status, and what do you make of that speculation?
Well, yeah, as long as he's on the 53-man roster, you figure he's there for a reason, and that maybe they would consider bringing him back at some point. I think that's the reason why we haven't seen a roster move for him. If he was clearly done for the year, he probably would have been placed on IR. But he hasn't set foot on the practice field yet. Now, there's no rules like time he's got to practice before he can return like there are with Hicks, because he's not coming back off of IR or anything. So who knows? Trevathan could be out there at practice next week and then get ready to go. I think that would probably be a little bit aggressive. I don't know that it's going to go that way, but the Bears have kind of classified Trevathan's situation as a week-to-week deal since he was injured. We'll see. That might be fast-tracking it a little bit much, I would guess. I mean, when you go back and you watch that injury he had, I don't know how he doesn't end up on IR. It was so gruesome. But he's had a brace contraption to have his arm in that he's been wearing when I've seen him recently. And, the hope would be he could play football again in 2019.
What about Roquan? I mean, it sure sounded like he's done for the year. How do you assess his season, and where's he at?
He was playing well. He was playing really well. He was leading the team in tackles, and he was, able to play with that range that really sets him apart. And I think if the guy's going to suffer a major injury, and, this is the kind of deal that would probably knock him out for the year if it was early in the year. You'd rather have it be something like a pec than you would a knee or some type of lower extremity injury that could affect his range in the long term. But a little bit of a bumpy start for him, that patch where he had missed the Vikings game and then you saw him play and he just didn't quite look like himself. But I think he was back. He was playing well. His teammates really care about him. They really like him. I think that's important. And, yeah, I'd expect probably only bad news on that. When guys talk with finality in terms of a season about a teammate, they know what's going on. Maybe they need some medical tests to conclude it. But Matt Nagy even alluded to it last night. And if there was probably some realistic hope that it wouldn't be too bad, I don't think he would have headed down that path.
All right, Biggsy, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brad.
All right, guys, have a great weekend.
That was Brad Biggs.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.